I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, welcome back to Supercoach Edge. Well, we're treated to the second gather round, and once more, Heaney was that man who continued on his merry way with another huge score to the tune of 165, Liam. 165, he's I thought he'd already hit his peak. I thought he had hit his ceiling. He has smashed through the ceiling, and now he is headed to the moon, the absolute burn man. But now he's a reformed burn man, because I'm in love, Liam, I'm sorry to say, but the romance is rekindled.
I think it's okay. I think it's fine to have the romance rekindled.
Supercoach romance, of course.
Absolutely, of course.
Just in case my wife's tuning in, and she's
what
like...
What do you mean, in case who? Sammy Walsh is tuning in? Oh.
Well, that's who I was referring to, my wife. But my other side piece, who I've married, my actual wife, if she tunes in as well, yes. So I don't want to be put offside twice over.
No, that is fair enough. Heaney is absolutely flying.
He is.
Saw an article today about the top 10 players after round four according to Champion Data, and I guess no surprise, Isaac Heaney is number one there.
Yes.
Is a surprise, I'd say, for number two.
Is there? Oh, well, let me guess. Let me guess.
Yeah, right.
How many guesses would I need for this second?
Probably at least 50.
50.
And I reckon that's even then. Well, I reckon you might need more.
This is probably no surprise, considering it's Champion Data, and they do put out some absolutely ridiculous things. But I would think, you know, up there at the heights of, you know, Heaney, have to be like a Raoul, a Green, a Bont.
Green's not there. Green's not in the top 10. Bont is.
Oh, gee, that's a good start. Yep. That's a good start. Yep. I have no idea.
It's one, James Warple, who, and I quote, has the second most impact with ball in hand of any player in the competition this year.
I reckon he'd have the second most impact with the ball not in his hand because he'd turn it over that often. That is ridiculous.
Jump into to some stats and have a quick look at the old Warple.
Is that so? What were we talking in terms of the other rankings? Like, you know, LeBont, El Capitano.
LeBont is third.
Okay. They've ticked that box. They had their head screwed on right for that. They weren't taking the wacky tabacky.
Warple's disposal efficiency, not as bad as I thought it would be. 71.2% is his average for the season.
Oh, probably career best for him.
Yeah, well, probably. Which actually puts him in as average for his position across the whole AFL. So, like,
but yet he's the second most impactful.
Still 4.3 clangers a game.
Yep, that's right up there. That's something that you'd align with, someone that's the second most impactful. Who else we got? Just to round us out.
So one, Heaney, two, Warple, three, Bont. Four Petrarca, okay. Right?
Yeah, that's good. Now they're back on track.
Yep. Five Nick Blakey. Could have guessed it, but I don't think it's, you know, too
not
far.
Not Warple territory. Yep.
Yeah, not Warple territory. No. Number six, Kieran Briggs, the Briglet. I mean,
they've derailed the train yet again.
I mean, I don't really think he would be the best ruckman for the year so far.
He's getting tailed up. Like, it's super coach wise anyway. He's not good.
No.
Wow.
Number seven. I wouldn't even have him as the seventh best player in his side. it is. Wouldn't even have him in. I might have him in the top 14. Willem Drew from Port Adelaide.
Willem who?
Yeah, Willem who?
Willem Drew. You like? Granted, I know he's played well without Wines there, especially, but that yeah. Where's Green?
Apparently,
where's Green?
Green's not there. Green's not in the top 10. I can't. I don't know if they've done it. I'm just looking at this article. I don't know if there's a.
They've made a mistake. Were they supposed to write Tom Green instead of Willem Drew?
Yeah, actually, apparently he was also the 226th ranked player last year. Willem Drew.
What an
So
absolute rise from
absolute
the ashes.
skyrocket.
Call him
Talk
Lazarus.
about to the moon.
Was the absolute moon. He's gone out of the galaxy.
Oh,
Oh, that's
so
incredible.
he's. This is another quote, but Drew is probably at the moment the most rounded player in the competition. Leave that with you there.
Okay.
And we go to number eight, and that is Dan Houston. Number
He's had a
nine.
pretty down start to the year, like, admittedly, to still be ranked in that spot. But yeah.
Caleb Sarong is nine.
Yes.
Well, I
Oh,
think that's
God. Yep.
fair. I'll accept
Yep.
that. Number 10 is Matty Rao again. I
Jeez.
mean,
Both those boys been hard done by. And the fact that Green isn't even there, that is like
Tom
calamity
Green,
style.
I mean, Max Gawn as well. Like,
Yes.
not to be
Like,
the top ruck.
Briggs over Gordon. What?
I'd love to see a champion data team. Like, if they just got to, like, pick their own side.
I'd really like to see them to go one step further, to get to know the characters behind the people like that make these calls. I'd love to see what they do on their work Christmas party. What would they be doing? What would that do? You reckon they sit
What are they
around
doing in their Christmas party? What are they doing in these meetings?
hopefully for their sakes, like who imagine though, like they're like the complete opposite of what we're thinking, and they're completely like the loosest guys, smoking like the fattest joints, snorting the whitest of substances. It would explain so much though, wouldn't it? Like in terms of their
I
rankings.
just,
So hopefully in their
it
sake they are,
just,
but
I think it
responsibly, of
shows
course.
the fact that, like, stats mean such, like, it goes to the point of, like, stats are mean shit all, really.
Ridiculous. But
Like,
surely like it shouldn't be a subjective thing. It should be like objective. Like these are the stats, these are the raw numbers. This is like who's ranking the highest? Like their numbers. Like I don't know.
who else would you think? I mean, Max Gawn, Petrarca, Gouldin as well, not being up there.
Yeah.
Tom Green, as you said. I don't know. It's
Yeah,
wild.
it's crazy.
Absolutely wild.
Anyway, just a nice little way to start the show. I thought we'd just highlight that. Yeah, considering that what's come out in recent times about players being rested, I think there's fair reason to rest the
Champion
crew
data next week
at
are
Champion
out
Dome.
with management
Yeah, out being managed off the
just
back
for the
of what they've
week, laid
produced
out.
there. Oh, absolute the latest of outs. But anyway, Liam, before we get stuck into things, where can our kind folk that tune in from week to week find us across our socials?
Yes, on YouTube, if you just search Supercoach Edge, and please don't forget to subscribe so that you are notified when our content does drop from week to week. On Twitter, you'll find us at Supercoach underscore Edge, Damon at DamoJ88, myself at Liam Evans underscore 95, Facebook and Insta, search Supercoach Edge, and you'll find us there.
Very good. Well, let's kick things off, of course, by running through ever so quickly how we scored for the round. And I'll
Do
kick
we
things
have
off
to?
with we'll make it ever so quick, don't worry. Quick and painless, like ripping off a band-aid. But with me, I was again had another positive week. I'm sorry, Liam, because again, this is making me feel bad. But
No,
I'll
I'm
make it
happy to
quick.
see you flying. It's nice.
Yeah. I
I
know,
just
but
don't
I
like
want to see
talking about
both of
my
us.
I don't like talking about my wig.
So you're saying I should spend longer on my team?
I'm happy with that.
Just really stretch
Just
it out.
gloss over what I have to talk about.
Yeah. So I ended up scoring a 2,327,
Oof,
and
very
ranking
nice.
wise, again, almost halved my rank for the third consecutive week, up 2,324 spots to now sit 2,557th overall. In terms of the players that did well, Heaney, of course, was my VC, helped usher in that decent score, whilst Gorn was most definitely another of the, we're calling the maxi variety because he did go max with his score of 129. And Nicky Martin, who has been, speak
Very
about
nice.
champion data being Lazarus, or sorry, who was it? Willem Drew, being Lazarus rising from the ashes.
Yes.
Well, Nick Martin has been that. Moniker as well, because he was on the chopping block for me only 3 weeks ago and just saved by the bell. I reckon the executioner was out the back, sharpening his blade, and by the time he came back, Nick Martin just sprinted away. So incredible turnaround in form by good old Nico Martin, your man. Trade-ins. I ended up on trade-outs, ended up going Jordan to Flanders, which ended up boding well. Billings to Darcy, which was obviously very good. I think it was an extra 30-odd points, Darcy on Billings. And Windsor to Dempsey, which was a nice rookie correction, leaping from one, I guess, slowing cash cow to another, was pumping out those nice scores that are worthy of having on field. And of course, he is headed to the moon. So yeah, very happy with that. Liam, you can go ever so quickly through yours.
Yes, I don't know what has happened. I've had another shocker, and I actually don't know what I've done to the Supercoach gods because they are choosing to
Again.
smite me this year in a very different way, I want to say. So I did score 2,054, and I don't even know how. Ranking wise, 84,370. So not flying at all. Took the risk, like just I don't know, just going into my gonna have some therapy session here.
Please unload. I'm here for you.
Yeah. So
Tell me how you feel. Open your mind.
I go for my VC as Tim English. I think he scored 117 off memory. Yep, 117. I thought, oh, it's not great, you know. Could do better. Who do I chuck it on? Tom Green, of course. He'll get 117 at a minimum.
Absolutely.
No, of course he scores 109, so I lose. I mean, not many points, but like still a loss of points there. 8 points down. Will Powell, absolutely flying the first few weeks, scores a 59 because Dimmer decides that I don't know. I'm gonna throw Flanders back, which works well for
Flanderses.
Flanders, but not sorry works well because I do own Flanders as well, but not for good old Will Powell, especially as a pod that hurts.
How'd you go for trades? What did they
Trades,
work out?
yeah, trades. Yeah, I think trades worked out overall. Billings, Windsor, and Gibcus were punted out of my side. And I brought in Josh Draper, as most others would have, Sam Darcy as well, and Jack Steele. So Jack Steele did work out well. 142 was probably the
That's
shining
beauty.
light. But yeah, it's not great. Still got some cash in the bank, though. Still got 145-ish K sitting there, ready to be spent. So be looking to upgrade some mid prices in the coming weeks and probably spend another trade sidewaysing Will Powell out of my side this week, unfortunately.
It's amazing how quick it can turn in Supercoach, isn't it? Like, as you say, with Powell, like, start of the season looked like he could have been an absolute bolter. And then off
Yeah.
the back of 1 week, which we've dealt with previously with obviously Hayden Young and with Nick Martin starting slowly and making an assessment, a judgment call, like, okay, well, maybe they're not the right players that we thought they were, even despite the fact they've got the role.
Yeah.
And then it's turned around. But like the opposite has happened here for you, where he started well, then again, but this is sort of due to a bit of an impact in his role by other guys cramping his style. So you can thank Dima for that, I reckon. But again, you have to like kind of assess from here, like, oh, do I persist or do I make a change?
And with the position I'm in at 85,000 basically overall, I really need to make up ranks sooner rather than later. Like I can't sit on my hands and kind of go, oh, we'll just see another week, or see multiple weeks and then wait. Like I've got the trades up my sleeve at this stage. It's going to hurt me later on when I don't have trades left. But I'd rather catch up and make something of my season now than sort of hold trades to the end and just sort of limp over the line. I'd rather limp over the line with no trades, having tried to do something, than limp over the line with trades, having not made a play.
Yeah, destiny's in your hands. And I think
Yeah.
it probably didn't help either that, like, and that's the risks that we take, like, at the start of the season, going for like the pods and stuff,
Yeah.
which would have helped you at the start of the season. But like, if he's sort of hitting par alongside those other higher-owned players, it kind of doesn't really give you too much of a leg up over other people. But yeah, I mean, yeah, it's the swings and roundabouts of Supercoach, and just got to roll with the punches, unfortunately. But I reckon, yeah,
Exactly.
it's you got nothing to lose now, so
No, that's what I'm thinking. I've got nothing to lose. We'll get there. We'll get there.
I've got your back. I'm there, and I'm ready. But what it does mean, Liam, is for our head to head, that I've gone out to a little bit of a lead here,
Yeah, decent one.
by 4 zip, and the differential is 709 points. But nonetheless, a week is a long time in footy, and
Yeah.
especially in Supercoach, like we're just saying. So,
Is it?
yeah, well, back to back. But I don't know. It's a common line. I just thought I'd throw out there. But what it is going to be good for is we're back to best 18 now. So, like, you can utilize the 22
Yes.
players or thereabouts on the park if you can field the full team, and then provided you have less rookies than other people or stronger primos, whatever. This is probably where pods can help maybe,
Yes. Yeah.
whereas other big owned guys like Heaney, not owning Heaney either, will probably help you. So now's the week, Liam.
Fingers crossed.
I have faith.
I don't,
But
but anyway.
yes, of course. If you haven't already seen the team talk episodes that I've been putting out on every Monday, is a bit of a prelude to our weekly podcast. That's pretty much this is. Be sure to jump in and check them out for a more comprehensive look at my strategy, discussing the trades that I'm making and reviewing my team more in depth. And make sure, of course, to subscribe on YouTube so you get notified of when they drop. But Liam, now let's jump straight into the segment that sums up the wider Supercoach round in general with the good, the bad, and the ugly. Well, first up, of course, there's no surprise here in the good. It is that man, the reform burn man in Isaac Heaney, put in another dazzling performance and top scored for the round with a 165 against the hapless Eagles, providing a lovely VC slash C option activated, of course, for those like an activated almond for those that owned him, of which I was one, licking my lips as my VC. Although having said that, I was a little bit worried because the only loophole that I had was Naismith, who played in the second last game, I think it was from memory. Named emergency, and I was worried that the Supercoach guy was going to smite me in some way, and Naismith was going to be late in, and I was going to lose Heaney's VC score, and then have to put the captaincy in all likelihood on Nick Daicos. But thankfully, everything went well. But the Heen man just is on fire.
In the bad, we do have Tom Stewart struggled against the Dogs with a tag coming from, was it Riley West? Riley? I think it's Riley.
Yes.
Who followed him around for the game and restricted him from his usual Supercoach friendly game. Should make him a bit cheaper though for those that didn't start the Cats Interceptor. So watch out. Watch him in coming weeks because his break even or his price starts to drop.
Exactly right. With a break even at the moment of 168 heading into round five with a projected drop of 20K. So, non-owners are going to be licking their lips.
Does play North though, so
That's very true.
could be
That's very true.
could be interesting.
Could make up the break even. But let's round it out with the ugly, which of course is Massimo D'Ambrosio. Might be a bit harsh here, but struggled to get into the game. And when he finally did, he spent over 20 minutes on the bench in the last quarter, which hurts even more considering the points that were on offer in such a close game. So I guess probably should square the blame at Sammy Mitchell here. He can share the ugly. He's part ugly as well. Just a bit of a fugly situation there for both Massimo and Sammy Mitchell.
Yeah, I'm a bit concerned about Mass and the fact that he was on the bench for so long.
Don't know what the issue was.
I don't,
Strange.
I mean, I don't know if there was an issue or if he was just not utilized.
Yeah, or not doing something correctly and was being punished by Mitchell. I can
Well, that's
totally
my
see him doing
concern. I
that.
think, well, he's not Mass. Is a great attacking player, but he's not a very good defensive player. So I'm just wondering whether there's something along those lines. Now we have round five on the horizon. So let's jump straight into trade talk with The Price is Right.
Show me the money.
The price is wrong, bitch.
For those tuning in for the first time, The Price is Right is the segment where we discuss potential trades, trade targets from week to week, or even whether a specific player under question should be traded at all. So we're going to kick off with gone. And these are the guys that you can look to get rid of this week, I guess. First up, we have James Jordan with a break even of 78. His break even is right on his average of 75. So now is the time to move on. With Taylor Adams back and Parker set to return, Jordan has served his purpose. He has the bye this week, so it's the perfect time to move him on if you still have him.
Absolutely, I concur. And also, we have Blake Howe. So he has a break even of 56 and has all but maxed out in cash at this stage with that break even, which is just below his average of 59. But most alarmingly, it is above his 3 round and 5 round averages. And of course, that does indicate that his recent form is tapering, and that does count for more. So given that, we'll likely drop in cash. And yeah, he's done his job, already made us 99.4K. So trade him to the likes of the Hills Hoist, as I'll call him, the clothesline, Closey, before his buy next week for a nice 100K profit.
Another guy on the list, it is Alex Sexton with a break even of -6. Was dropped by Dimmer on the weekend with a number of debutants joining the side, with both Landers and Lukosius also playing off the back line. His prospects of re-entering the side in that same role look a bit slim. If he's named next round, you could consider keeping him for some more cash, but it does seem unlikely. Looks like Dimmer was making a bit of a statement. Does also come after he was moved forward back into a forward role mid-match in, I think it was round 3 or round 2, whenever it was. So that's not going to be conducive to his scoring. So look to trade him out, though he probably isn't as urgent, as he won't drop in price like others, such as House potentially will, just because he hasn't, is not likely to be playing, you wouldn't expect.
Yeah, exactly right. Might find it hard to get back in to that Suns lineup that played actually quite well against the Giants.
Yes.
Let's move on to the chopping block. And first up, we have, he's had a fair bit of a mention in this episode thus far, Massimo D'Ambrosio. So he has a break even of 49, and his scoring has really dropped off in the last few weeks, only posting 2 scores in the 60s. Not an urgent trade out, as the role hasn't really changed, but there may be some question marks due to his low time on ground on the weekend, which was just 65%, while he spent over 20 minutes on the bench in that last quarter, as we mentioned. Not an urgent trade, especially if you have other issues to deal with, but one that may need to be moved on in the coming weeks unless he can restart his cash generation with a big score.
He's still got that break even at 49. Still got cash to make, I think. Not much, but might get a score, but we don't know. Fingers crossed. Who do they play?
Gold Coast.
Yeah, there's not a bad positive scoring correlation with wing defenders, I think about the 4th or 5th best in league. Yeah, so it could be an uptick score coming. Other guy, I don't know if I think we mentioned, I don't necessarily think he is on the block, but I know a lot of people have him here, so it's kind of a bit more of a cautionary tale. Colby McKercher, break even of 43. I think it's a bit reactionary after he did play a different role on the weekend, more through the middle. Didn't seem as well with a 54, which was his lowest for the season so far. I would hold him at least another week, see if his role continues, or if he does roll back into that backline role where he has been able to distribute and score relatively well. We'll also get DPP status after round 6 and could be a decent scorer to move back and provide some much needed flexibility and a stronger scoring option for a rookie in the backline.
Yeah, exactly right. I agree as well. I'm not too keen to move him on as yet. And I think of all the guys, you know, we obviously started him at the start of the year because we knew that his job security is like 100% alongside Sanders. And he showed enough across the preseason in that role. And again, like the big key here is the role, and it comes down to every single player. So provided that he hasn't lost that role in the back line, and you know, Clarko's just like, oh, let's just run him through the middle. It's going to be, I think, just stay the course really with Kircher unless that role changes. So we might revisit this time next week if things don't change. But yeah, I totally agree. Hold on to him unless you're struggling for other options.
Yeah, agreed. Now onto the trade in options. So these are get them in. And first up, we do have Sam Closey, 102.4K, break even of -68. And what a debut we got from the former VFL draftee and former Fothergill, Fothergill round Mitchell medalist.
It's incredible. Seriously.
Would you like to add any other names in there?
It doesn't make any sense because I think it used to just be Fothergill round medalist, which is obviously for the VFL's most promising young player, but they've just added in Mitchell. And I'm like, really, just like, I guess to a point where you've got to restrict it. Like, surely.
Do they just add the next player that wins its name at the end as well? Just keep going.
Might be Fothergill round Mitchell Closey.
Oh, God. Don't tempt them. Obviously, as you said, the VFL's most promising young player. Being at that bargain basement price, he will no doubt make us some juicy, juicy cash with a first up score of 108. So normally we don't agree with going early on a player off one game, but this might be one time to do it. With the stars aligning, with fattened cash cows like ours to move on, such a move could fund one of your first genuine upgrades with one of the trades.
Agreed there. Popular trade in for sure. Jack Steele, he's the next man up that we both think should be on everyone's radar. Priced at 589.6K. Liam, break even of 69. Ding, ding. We haven't even got an episode without this appearing again. Let's just celebrate. Let's just celebrate. What is it? It's on The Office. It's like, how many days without nonsense?
We run a no-nonsense office.
This is literally rubbing
Yes.
it out. It was one episode. How many episodes without nonsense? We're rubbing that
Zero.
out. One?
We had one. Didn't we have
Zero.
one last time?
I
Oh,
think we had
yeah. Okay,
I think we had a couple of 60.
yeah. Yeah, we did, didn't we?
And then we posed the question, like, could we go an episode without
Oh,
a ding ding?
yes, that was it.
Yeah.
We didn't.
Yeah. And someone actually beat us to it. Might have been Jonas Goat potentially in the comment section on my team talk video and was like, Jack Steele's break even 69, ding ding. So I wouldn't have known unless, like, this would have been a surprise as we're writing out the run sheet. So yeah, there we go. Ding ding. Back to
Ding
zero
ding.
episodes without nonsense. So the question remains, is the old Jack Steele of 2021, 2022, sorry, 2020 or 2021 back? Of course, both of those seasons where he's finished as the second highest scorer overall. We think so. With an average of 126.8, he's currently the seventh best scoring mid based on average, with his lowest score of 119. He's averaging elite for disposals, averaging 28.3, and is going at 81.4% for the season, helping him score effectively. And he's also averaging 8.5 tackles, if you don't mind, and 25 pressure acts a game. That all spells to me that he's back. But for those in need of a mid primo, he presents extreme value, averaging just 0.5 points less in average than Butters, who is priced 68K more. That just there underlines the extreme value we're getting, because that is the price point that Steele will reach within a couple of weeks. So get him in at this discounted price now, or face a prospect of forking out that difference in weeks to come.
I think I can rekindle my love affair with Steel.
I was waiting for you to say it's over, like I'm never going back there again.
No,
Like a bit of Taylor
I
Swift
literally
action.
just brought him in. Just brought him in. So I'm watching him. I hope he plays well. No,
I
he
forgot
does
the
look
instant
good.
team, that's right.
I have to say, I think this, other than the, I watched him in the Saints Essendon game, obviously, but I'm kind of don't watch, wasn't watching him the same way as I think I was on the weekend. I watched a lot of football this weekend, I have to say.
You're watching him with love hearts in your eyes, like, you know, the
Yeah, a little
emoji.
bit. But you know when you, like, I don't know, when you've got to play with your team, you kind of watch for that a little
Them.
bit. And he looked good. He does look good. He looks fit, I have to say. Just waiting for something to happen to him now. That
I've
he's in my
knocked down all the
sights. So
wood because he's now in my
apologies.
team.
Apologies, everyone.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Next up, we have Sam Flanders, stupid sexy, 552.7K, break even of 89. We spoke about him last week. Now, opinions haven't changed. The only things that have changed is his price, jumping up another 24.5K. Get on him. Though it should be noted that he did play in a bit of a different role this week, a sort of
Yeah.
Doherty style role, I guess, rolling up from defence and acting as the sweeper on the defensive side of the stoppage. So getting a lot of ball out the back. Hasn't stooped below 100 and is set to face the Eagles and North twice more this season. So should be in for some big scores with a decent fixture. Prioritise this guy and get him in your sides, please.
Yep, 100%, please. Yep, we are asking nicely to do yourselves a favor. Please get him into your teams like I did coming
Exactly.
out of the bye, and he treated me to that very nice score first up. To round us out is a guy that is on a lot of people's lips, Jason Horne-Francis, priced at 433.9K, has a break even of four, and is set for a massive price rise with that break even. And his two games this year have produced scores of 132 and 112. He's already on track to smash his peak performances in 2023 when he scored 100 plus in just four of 22 games. So he's already hit that halfway mark there with his games thus far. Could be a value option for those looking for a discounted option at that current price point he is at. And if you don't quite have the dollary dues to go up to a Flanders or Steele, he could be a man. Mm. Also promising is he has had 71% and 65% CBAs. So is in the engine room rotation quite solidly. And he will no doubt have a breakout season, I guess, at some point or another. Normally say it's around about the fourth year. This is his third year. The only concern is whether he can maintain this consistency over the course of the season. And will the return of Wines impact him and see him lose valuable CBAs?
No, I don't think so. So looking at, it's hard. So we've got a one-game sample size with two of them playing. Looking at Wines there, in the first game, round one, Horn Francis had a 71% CBAs, whereas Wines had 46% CBAs. Wines increased the next week, really off the back of Horn Francis. Just having a quick look. And Jackson Mead decreasing, mm-hmm. because Willem Drew also had a pretty sizable increase as well.
Yeah, being Data's love child.
Yeah, explains it. And then the week after, without Horn Francis, he went backwards, back to that 50, so closer back to that 46. So I don't think it's going to have that big an impact on him overall, because Jason Horn Francis, or Ice Baths, as he is also known, he 71 and 65%. So that's not, I don't know how you kind of say that's close, but it is. In my mind, I'd say that's pretty consistent. It's not wildly different.
But he's looked good as well. That's the thing.
He's at that breakout kind of stage, I think. What's season what? Three?
This is his third year for him, yeah. So it's kind of a bit who would it have been? Was Clary Oliver breakout second year or third year?
I don't know.
He broke out his second year. His average is 111.5.
Yeah.
So I guess it's not out of the realms of, possibility for him to break out, in his third year compared to most who sort of break out in their fourth year. So I don't mind it. I don't mind it. At that price point, coming into the season, we might be looking back at this and being like, shit, why didn't we get on?
We should have jumped on early. Yeah.
At this price point. But I think for me, I just prefer to, guided by the stats, numbers, men, I like to go for guys that have been around the top eight averaging mark previously, like a Jack Steele has done it twice over, finishes the top two scorer for 2020 and 2021. So I prefer to back in those guys that have been there before as opposed to someone that hasn't been there yet that could make it but has a fair bit of competition in the midfield with Supercoach, with other guys around him that could push him out to say that even if he's a top... at that price point, if he was looking like he was going to be a top sort of 10 to 12.
Yeah, you can probably play him ride off the bench.
Yeah, and even just ride him until he hits, 550 odd, and that's 120K.
Yeah.
And then if you want to trade
him, you could actually ride him as a cash cow.
Yeah.
At that price, cash cow. Yes, it's probably a fair point. So you'd have to find the cash, though. I don't know where you would. You'd have to have an injury.
Yeah. Well, you could potentially, using as an example here, Matt Roberts. He is about 98K
than Horn Francis. Too bad.
So if you find it's virtually one rookie downgrade. So if you downgrade to closing.
Even Jordan, if you've got a steep EP, Jordan's a mid. So what's Jordan priced at? 350. Yeah, you're not wrong.
Yep.
That's a good point.
Yeah. So you could use him as you said there, a bit of a playing cash cow with potentially a bit of an asterisk there that he may end up being a keeper. So I don't mind it. But, yeah, it looks as though he's going to be making a fair bit of coin is Horn Francis. He is projected to go up 40K with a score of 93, according to Supercoach Plus. So, yeah, if he continues these averages, he could definitely be a very nice playing cash cow. So I can see the appeal. A little bit of a risk, but, from what we've seen so far, he's looked really good.
Talking me into it, I have to say. Freo as well, faces Freo. They, yeah, not a bad correlation with inside mids. Ooh, I don't mind it. 4% of teams, that's the only concern. It'll go up, obviously. I'd say this, yeah, is one of the most traded in players, I think, this round. Like the
Very
risk.
good.
Second most traded in player, 7.2% of trades.
Yeah, well, okay.
So it'll get him up to, I'd say, around the 11, 12% mark in terms of ownership. So it reduces the risk slightly.
Don't mind it.
Anyway, let's move on to the consider and wait options. So these are guys that you probably don't want to trade in this week. So you probably want to watch them again, or there's a a reason to wait for them, particularly in terms of rookies. So first up, we do have Charlie Condon. He is forward eligible, 227.1K with a break even of minus 40, and he came in with a bang, scoring 129 in that halfback intercept marking role that we drooled over in the preseason. A lot are going to jump on early, but we would caution you to wait at least a week. North face the Cats this week, who are the third most restrictive for points conceded to opposition general defenders. And compounding that further, could Comben play a bit of a lockdown role on Tom Hawkins, considering the defensive woes that North have in just not having anyone? Poor thing. Imagine throwing him back, bringing him back in. I reckon it was pretty
Yeah,
rough that
got
he got
types.
dropped to begin with, but like,
Yeah.
let's be real. But anyway,
They can't afford to drop anyone, I don't reckon, in defense.
seriously, if you're in desperate need to downgrade a bit of a fattened rookie to him to fund another trade upgrade, we can understand, but just look to wait and at least a week and bring him in when he is out on the bubble. I don't know. It just feels risky, especially at that 227.1K price tag. Like, I think we've spoken about Closey. I don't normally like going early, but at 102K, if he gets dropped, like, he's a loop option. Like, you've literally freed up as much cash as you possibly can.
That's exactly the big appeal first up. And then it's like, okay, well, hopefully he makes some decent coin as a cash cow with that massive score in his first cycle. So
Exactly.
yeah, but yeah, investing money, you're going to have to trade up to Comben or downgrade a rookie that's gone up a little bit in order to get,
Yeah, you're
Comben
not getting
in.
that much cash out of it, so I don't think it's worth. Like, if you were to trade,
A Windsor or someone or a,
or even a Jordan or whatever, like, it's just not probably not worth it to go early. I don't think I'd be cautioning that.
Yep, I totally agree there. Another guy as well, which I'll probably have the same train of thought with, is Will Graham, from the Suns, defender midfielder, priced at 117.3K with a break even of negative 21. So another one to wait on, especially if you've gone early on closer this round. Had 49% CBAs first up, which is a promising sign for his role, but might fluctuate if Flanders is unleashed back into his traditional role with rotations through the engine room. Should be a great option, but give him another week before bringing him in. I don't think there's really a reason to go early on him as well as the Hills hoist in closer.
I love it.
Gonna make it stick. I'm gonna make it stick.
I will now exclusively refer to him as the Hills hoist. Lloyd Meek, the next guy. I can't believe we're talking about him. Ruck eligible, 357.3K, break even of minus 14. And we do note at the time of the record, he is, I'm going to check this again because we wrote this. He's
He's the
gone
fifth
up.
now.
He's now the fifth. Come on. Fifth most traded in player heading into round five. Coming off scores of 88 and 130. His scoring obviously catches the eye alongside a minus 14 break even. But can he be trusted? Played 16 games in 2023, being in and out of favour for the Hawks, but more so used in tandem with Reeves. Now with Meek rucking solo with Reeves dropped, it does elevate his scoring prospects, having scored that 104 and 112 in his last two scores. So last two games, he was solo last season compared to the 67.1%. Sorry, 61. Oh my God. 67.1 that he did average when sharing the ruck. If, and there's a big if, Meek can remain in favour and Reeves is kept out of the side, he might be a nice play as a playing cash cow, or is Meek just the flavour of the month for the Hawks as we have seen previously? I mean, looking at the fifth most traded player, it's Lloyd Meek to Brody Grundy.
Well, okay.
Like, oh, I'm going to say it. I don't get it.
I've seen a
Like,
few other content creators doing it. I know it obviously gives you a fair bit of cash, and they're obviously using the same or similar mindset as what we spoke about with Horn Francis, but just lesser price point. But Horn Francis, first and foremost, has obviously job security.
Yeah, there's no way he's getting dropped.
On the way up. That's the thing. Like, there's potential there, like, for Horn Francis, whereas with Meek, there's question marks around, as you said, like, his role on the side, long, short-term as well as long-term. Even if you were riding Meek for sort of a short-term period. I don't know, like, playing for a developing team in Hawthorn as well, you know, they're going to be games where they're going to be smashed compared to Port, solid team. So if you're comparing the pair, I guess in that case, be going for Horn Francis over Meek. Look, I've got Grundy. I'm trading him out this week, shifting Jackson into his position. And that's the way that I'm bringing in Steele. Like, I could quite easily do the same thing of Grundy down to Meek, gives me more coin. But again, it's a risk. You got to, I mean, it could be a calculated risk, but it's too much for a risk, I think.
Yeah, I think it's too much of a risk. I don't personally get the big issue. Like, I feel like there's so much, this is a slightly adjacent topic, but the Grundy trade out, I'm not sold on.
Personally, yeah, I think
it comes down to the individual sides. I wouldn't trade out Grundy to Meek. Like, I just don't think that's a logical trade to me. Grundy being used as a trade, I personally don't think I agree with. I think there's a lot of people going, oh, he's scoring so badly. I don't think he's not the best scores, but I don't think he's scoring terribly. And this is most certainly not my biggest issue. I wouldn't be trading Grundy to Meek. I'd be concerned by that.
Just on that as well, probably a good segue before we finish off on Meek and round it out with our last guy in this consider weight category. But just with Grundy, obviously we didn't mention him in the trade outs or on the chopping block. But just for those people that are considering trading him out, which I am one, I think the main reasons for me trading him out is it just aligns with his buy.
Yeah, I think that makes sense.
Just the timing is perfect in order to get Steele in and trade Grundy out. If someone like Steele wasn't available, I'd probably persist with Grundy because I do think there is a chance that he can have some upside and, you know, continue punching out and having spike games, you know, really nice scores. So it comes down to, I think, situational as opposed to a must trade out type thing.
Yes. Yeah. I think I just think there's a lot of people jumping off for the wrong reason, I want to say. I think people are saying, oh, he's going to score like shit. He's not scoring well. I think a 103 average isn't too bad at this stage. Like, I think there's going to be cohesion issues with him with the mids. Like, he's going to have to build that cohesion with his, you know, mutant, essentially third midfield in 3 years.
Yeah.
And so that's something to consider. But I agree. If it's I think in situations it makes sense, but I just don't think Grundy to Meek is a big risk. Like, unless there's no backup. Like, you know what I mean? Like, other than potentially having Jackson, you don't really have a backup. And even then, I don't know.
Yeah, I think just on Meek as well, he is kind of, for me, a bit of a budget cherry.
Yeah.
The X-Man. Like, he's cheaper. Cherry's gone up 61K. And I think if anyone, like, and I spoke about it in the preseason, if you were to trade Grundy to anyone, the only guy I'd be confident in is Cherry, but even then he came with those risks considering that he did get injured early, but has scored all right, 107, 108, 90, and 115. I don't know. Just with Meek, I wouldn't do it personally, but I can see why some people might want to take the risk. But
yeah. If you're not happy with Grundy and you want to trade him, I'd almost hold him this week and wait for English to drop in price and then upgrade him to English. Like, I think English is a break even of 154. I'd rather do that. Like, I think you want to almost choose a top two or three ruckman. And I think Grundy can be that or even a top four. I don't know.
Yeah. That was my other option.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, just waiting for English, which is what I am doing in a roundabout way because I've put Jackson into
you're going to be trading around. Yeah.
And I'll trade Jackson eventually to English at some stage when Ho-da-da comes back and starts impacting him, no doubt. But let's round this category up with the last guy, and it is Kai Lohmann. As a forward, 161.5K, has a break-even of negative 14. So the low man with a low break-even. Finally got a decent crack at a full game and returned a very nice score of 88 from 18 disposals and 2 goals won after sub-affected games of 33, 16 and 18. After the weekend's performance, his cash generation, though, has been kick-started. But can we trust his job security given how often he has been the sub already? Get this as well, not just outside of, not just confined to this year. Across his entire career to date, 8 of his 12 career games have been sub-affected. So let that sink in there about his role, job security, all that sort of stuff. With his role, he's got a half forward role, so that could see scoring fluctuate. And thus, I think he sort of presents as not really a reliable scorer. I'd prefer, if you are keen on him, to wait one more week and assess him up against or alongside Comben, who I think looks a likelier type in terms of being that sort of cash cow, as well as maybe a playing cash cow. Lohmann, just with being so sub-affected, presents too many risks.
I agree entirely. It just feels like he's teetering on that best 22. He's just, he's abouts, but not quite. So I think even if he does kind of come along and get a few weeks, he's still probably sitting as the 22nd man. So there is that potential to sort of drop out into that sub role. So I would be waiting. I think, I know it's great making this minus 14, but I'd be, wanting some more security. I think there's better options coming up than the old low man. Moving on to outsiders. So these are guys, or this guy in particular, Tom Brown, defender eligible, 213.8, break even at minus 33. I suppose that, like his namesake, also an outsider.
Very good. That deserves a bit of a brumch. That is very good, Liam. Very unique being, that guy, Tom Brown, with an E, though. Tom Brown with an E. This one without the E. Tom so Brown, thankfully, he can distinguish himself from the other Tom Brown, the one T-dollar Brown.
Love that. Anyway, Tom Brown from Richmond. Many were weighing up between Tom Brown and Josh Draper as a rookie downgrade option last week. And if you were willing to fork out the extra 30K or so, you were rewarded in the spin of a rookie roulette wheel with a spike score of 95 and a 59.6K price rise. While obviously projected to potentially make 100K on Supercoach Plus, that is relying on him having a low score to all but scuttle his cash gen and his defensive role. It wouldn't surprise if this were to happen, as we've seen with Howes. So it isn't a sure thing. Not really worth paying up for, considering Closey is on offer at 111K cheaper at his bark and pacement price and that 108 on debut. And also that you've got Will Graham, who's a defender and midfielder, coming in at 117.3K. So again, quite a lot cheaper. So I would probably even bypass him, but if you really, 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 really need him, then I don't know, you do you, boo.
Yep, exactly. That probably is the best way to summarize it. Let's round things out in this segment with On the Bubble. Slim pickings this week with none of the players on the bubble really looking like strong options, so worth waiting for those that we spoke of. The ones that are on the bubble, though, Jed Walter, average of 35.9, 37 and 42. Henry Huswaite, break even at 55, averaging at 25. Yeah. A lot of these guys sub-affected as well, 46 and a 4.
I think all
Tyler Sonsi, average of 38.5. Oh, and then Angus Hasty, average of 9.5 with an 18 and a 1 in sub-affected games.
So sorry. Huswaite and Hasty are both sub-affected. Sonsi, I don't know if he was, but just sort of that forward half, like that small forward role. And then Walter is a bit more of a key position forward.
Yep.
Always. No, I don't think, like, Huswaite, I think, can have the role that could be worth it. So it could actually be good that his break-even is 55. He keeps being sub a few more games.
Yeah, drop down. Which is what happened to, was it Matt Roberts last year? He potentially stubbed in his early games and then his price was dropping. Everyone jumped on him and then he obviously got injured in his first game.
Yes, that was it, yeah.
Yeah, so it could happen. Another one with Huswaite, which big raps in the preseason. So we'll be watching
Which will be juicy, considering his price tag is 184. So if he can get down to like 120.
Yeah, it could be a nice little downgrade option. we'll see what happens.
Let's see.
Now, for our regular viewers and listeners, they'll be familiar with the fact that in 2024, we have made the call out. We've put the Supercoach Edge signal into the sky, like the bat signal, and put the call out for people to send in their own rendition of I'm the captain now. And if this is your first time tuning in, now you know. So if you're keen to be featured in our show, get to sending yours in. Get to it. You see the bat signal outside, the Supercoach Edge signal, which I don't know, what would it be, our signal? I know what it would be. Are you thinking what I was thinking, B1? Is it a bit of a ding ding? A bit of a 69 a ding, to the sky.
That's exactly, I was literally just thinking that.
It would have to be subtle enough, I think, so, you know, obviously kids and stuff don't realize.
Yes, yeah, so we don't get in trouble.
Mature audiences are like a 69, I know what that means. So it'd have to be like ding ding or dinner for two. Which is probably a bit too blatant. But I reckon ding ding is probably so if you look out the window right now, if you're tuning in at night, obviously during the day you wouldn't see it. Even though we leave it on 24 hours a day. Solar, you know, powered, of course, being sustainable. But we're going into a whole different thing
now.
That's
the biggest issue.
It's the biggest issue. So if you see that outside, make sure you send it in. And you can send it in to us via, I think we had someone send it through to us via Instagram, Facebook. Email is probably the easiest as well. So if you can just do us a favor and do it via email, especially me, because I have to find ways to rip it from Instagram, rip it from Facebook Messenger, all that sort of stuff. So, but either way, send it in. We'll find a way to get it on and featured in our weekly episode. So this week's rendition, Liam, comes courtesy of @Jake_Stainsby via Instagram. So I had to find a way to try and rip this from Insta because they can't write
click download. Yeah.
Download. So sneaky me, found a way in production. We always know the way. So Jake, here's the mic. Take it away.
Look at me. I'm Captain Now.
There you go. On point
Very
again.
Well done, Jake.
I don't know if we should rank these from week to week.
Maybe we can do it. Oh, yeah. It's a good idea.
Or maybe like a mid-season ranking or something. Like.
And then end of season. Yeah. We can crown the winner.
Yes. So.
As the captain. They are.
Yes. The then we'll say, they're the captain now.
I mean, I'm going to be honest. It's going to take some beating. Last week's was.
Yeah. It was actually really good. From Ollie, I think it was. Our youngest listener, viewer. He saw the bat signal. Didn't know what it meant. Asked his dad.
But he knew what it meant. He knew that it was time for him to scream out, I'm the captain now.
He knew that was his calling, and he did it.
It could also just be a captain's hat as opposed to a giant six.
That would probably make more sense. Yeah, shows where our heads are at. But having said all that, we don't have anyone queued up for next week's episode. So if you wanted to feature, send yours in, and bang, you're on the board. So do it, as we said, via email, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. Email is aflsupercoachedge@gmail.com. LM, we are in the segment now because it's been ushered in by Jake. So shall we get to it?
Thank you, Jake. And I'm the captain now. What do? We chat about VC and C options, and we scrounge through the data and find you the top options that we have for you this week. And first up, got another Thursday night VC opportunity for the big bearded one. That is right. Ooh. Will Maxwell or Maximilian show up? We hope it's big Maxi. He comes into this game with a 3-round average of 139.7 and a last score against the Lions of 215. Ooh. If you look at his last three, though, going to exclude his injury affected zero, his average is 142 with that. Ooh. 215, a 74, and a 138. Lock, load.
Two words, lock, load. Exactly. No and needed.
Not even. Too many words.
Exactly right. Just lock, load. And another guy who you've got in your team, Liam, Tim English. The big English breakfast, he faces the Dons on Friday night and offers a juicy VC option for owners. He scores against the Dons in his last three matchups, 134, 123, and a 204. So rivaling big Maxi here for an average of 153, in fact, trumping him. Wowzers, Liam. That's one word. Wowzers. That's all I'll say. That again, trump's gone because that was two words. Lock, load. Wowzers.
Decrease. And next guy, I'm not going to even have any words.
Half a word.
The only thing I'm going to say, but this has been consistent over the years, Essendon, like as in last year as well, and I think the year before, Essendon gives away I think the fourth least points to opposition ruckman. But that was the same last year, and he still managed to score, what was it, 134. So I don't think I'd be too worried about that. I'm going to bring it up, but as there's a bit of a, asterisk,
Yep.
past performance does not indicate future performance or whatever it
Yes,
is.
that's the one.
But just keep that in mind. Moving on to the next guy, and it is Marcus Bontempelli. Bont smashed out a score of 141 on the weekend, reminding us of what he can achieve as a VC or C option. Faces the Dons, but he doesn't have the best average against them. Just a 121.3 in his last three, with scores of 126, 115, and 123. And that 126 is actually his best score against the Dons. Considering the Dons have been giving away bulk points to opposition mids in recent weeks, the second most, he could be in for a big one, though. Consider that, Rosie was 153, Steele the week before was 120 something. And then Errol and Co and Heaney, they all went to task on them the week before. So, yes, could be lining up for a big score.
We're in Labonte El Capitano. Well, let's move on to Tom Green. So he had his first downer of the year with a score of just 109, but has scores of 132, 152, and a 137 in his first three matches for the year. He faces the Saints, who he has scored 119, 108, and a 50 against in his last three matches. And he's, I think, just always one to consider given his hot start to the year.
Agreed. Next up, it is Jack Steele. He faces the Giants and is coming off two captaincy-worthy scores in a row, a 126 against the Dons and a 142 against the Tigers. His last two scores against the Giants read 135 and 140. Could be a sneaky pod C option for you. Although I think he plays early enough that you could probably VC him as well.
Oh yes, yep.
Yeah, he plays
Could
on
be in.
Saturday Arvo, so.
Don't mind it. Let's round us out by going with this a bit of an outsider here. Tom Stewart didn't have the best game, obviously, on the weekend with a score of just 77, but you can't keep a champion down, especially when he faces North Melbourne this week, of whom he has scored 124, 97, and a 152 against in his previous three encounters. If you want to poddle him, he could be it.
Yes, he could be it.
And who is it after the weekend in our head-to-head?
You were it, Damon. You are it. You took out the win in the head-to-head, rewarded off the back of backing in your former Burn man. In it, I was going to call him Tom Heaney. What's his
Call him
name?
whatever you want. Isaac.
Isaac. Where did
Tom
Tom come from?
Heaney. I'm going to call him Tom from now on. Just such a bland name
Oh,
compared to Isaac.
Isaac
Sounds really
Heaney.
prestigious and like Isaac Newton. Like, yeah, no, actually, it's Tom
Yeah,
Newton.
Isaac.
Isaac Newton's actual name is Tom. Tom
Yeah, of
Newton,
course.
the
Tom.
old inventor.
Anyway, Tom
Yes.
Heaney, he scored a mammoth 165. Maybe that's why. Maybe he's changed his name. Maybe he's not actually Isaac anymore. That's why he's not a Burn man.
Yeah, makes sense.
Eclipsing my option, though, in Tom Green, he scored 109. Fucking Tom Green.
Yeah, I passed it up
Anyway.
as well because I was very keen to go for Tom Green. And yeah, went for my Burn Man. I said, I'll take a risk, be adventurous. It wasn't really a risk. It was a kidding
Not
myself.
against the Eagles. Come on.
Yeah, exactly right.
Anyway, oh, I've got the first choice, don't I? Oh, damn. I
You
hate
got the
having the
first.
first choice.
Is it gonna be?
Oh, I mean,
I've got three players in mind.
yeah, so do I.
You probably are. Your one of your players is probably different to mine, because I don't own one of them that you do.
All right, I am gonna go.
I'll do some hold music for you. Do 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 do.
Tim English.
Oh, I like it. That's a good one. That's the man that I don't own that I was considering. Okay, for me, I'm going to back in LeBont as my El Capitano, I
Yeah,
think.
he was number two. Max Gawn. So I was thinking about Max Gawn, but Brisbane give away the second least points to opposition
Yeah,
ruckman.
they're pretty restrictive.
So that concerns me a little bit this week for Gawn.
Yeah, and I think last time he may have played Darcy Fort. I don't know, that's just a guess, but who knows? But yeah, traditionally anyway, like McInerney's pretty restrictive. So how he got off the chain last time with that massive score. But yeah, outside of that, Tom Green, it's like he's probably the other guy I'm thinking about. Bont,
Yeah.
VC for me, and then into Green as my El Capitano.
I mean, the Saints don't really give away many points to opposition inside mids, but not Not a super negative score either, so I don't think it shouldn't affect him too much. So hopefully we can get a big score from him.
Now, Liam, let's round things out with the return of an old segment. And all we'll do to usher it in is that it's time to answer some questions. Other people have been shining their own bat signal into the sky, asking, can you see it?
I can't.
Okay, they've just put a question mark in the sky next to the
It's the Riddler.
69s. Oh my God, it's a Riddler. We actually have to call Batman. Let's get an actual bat signal. That would be quite ironic. But they're shining a question mark next to our 69
To
in
have
the
a little
sky.
bat signal.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't have it on my desk, so I'll find it for next episode.
Yeah, actually, that's very good. But in the sky it
Anyway,
reads,
so.
in the sky it reads 69 question mark. So that could be interpreted as a question to anyone out there. Don't ask your partners. But Liam, these questions will be answered in the return of, ready? 3, 2, 1. I gots to
Hey, I got to know.
back, baby. It's back.
Couldn't do it.
I couldn't do it.
Oh.
You had to limit up the
I
jaw. You hadn't had a bit of a practice swing.
have to, yeah, I have to warm up for that one.
Yeah.
Oh. First question here is from at Karamazov 1879. He asks, please, may I ask two questions? Well,
Sure.
actually, he's asking three questions here because he's asking if he can ask two questions.
Actually, that's a
Then
very
he's
good point.
asking two questions. So, you know what?
Having a lend of us.
Yeah, I don't know about this. Anyway, he's lucky. We've already answered the first question. Can we go
Yes.
early on Combat and Closey,
True.
also known as Hill's Hoist?
Yes. Very good.
No and yes. No to Combat, yes to Closey. We've already spoken about that, so we won't go into too much more detail there. And two, can we bring Nick Mutton back in and admit we went too early? Many thanks in advance.
I think you can. If I was in the boat and I was very close to being in this boat of trading Martin, I would consider bringing him back in. It's a tough one because it depends who you're weighing him up against, who you have to bring him in. If you don't have the cash to bring in a Jack Steele, I'd be keen to go for Nicky Martin. Also keep in mind that Nick Martin is in line for DPP addition, which
I
was
don't
probably something
hate
that we'll
it.
round out the episode with some of the DPP announcements, how things are tracking. We'll go through them at the back end of this episode very shortly. But yeah, that's something to factor in as well. Thoughts, Liam?
Yes. I think he can bring him back in. I am considering it. I don't want to consider it, though, at the same time. I'm just worried that he goes back into the middle. And the only thing that I'm worried about, the only reason I'm worried about it is that I don't think he's as effective as a halfback player as he was as a wing. But I don't like I'm that's me as an Essendon supporter, not as a Supercoach person. Like realistically, that's my biggest concern. I don't know if it'll happen though, but yeah.
The potential change in role back to what he had, which
I
is
mean,
a
we've
fair
seen that he
point.
can score well. He can score well from a wing. Like we saw that last year, he did score relatively well. I just don't know whether it'll be enough to be
Keep a
a
territory.
yes. And he's not at a price where I think he's going to make enough cash to hold him long term. Sorry, like as in like as a cash cow in a sense. Like his break even is probably chat about him quickly now, actually. So he's apparently priced at 5.33. So he's already made 40K on his starting price, so that'll get him at a slight premium, I guess. And his break even is 35, so faces the Bulldogs. I don't know what they do in terms of they give away the second most points to opposition wing defenders.
Oh, geez. Okay.
Okay, change.
Change your own trade plans as well off the back of this.
Oh, far out. And then who does he face? Adelaide. They give away the least points, second least points, third least points, sorry, to
Okay.
wing defenders. So that's not great. And then Collingwood, who give away a negative amount too. Okay. And then West Coast. And then West Coast again. So he still has North and two games of West Coast to play for the season.
So yes, to answer that question, yes, admit that you went too early, bring him back in.
Yeah, I think you can. I think you can.
Well, let's round it out with the next question that was sent in by Brad Door 4. Which trade is better this week, Jordan to Martin or Grundy to English?
Oof.
It's a tough one. Jordan to Martin is actually a really good
Yeah.
trade. And you could probably wait, I reckon, on English.
Yeah, I was
He's
that's
going
the
to
only
drop
reason
in
I was going to say
price.
that. Yeah.
And even though Grundy's in the buy, I think English is going to drop more in price. And you just pick him up at a later date. Whereas Martin, he's about to skyrocket. And as you said, up against the Dogs, you concede a fair chunk of points
Yeah.
against opposition winger defenders. Makes
And his
sense.
break even's low. So like just keep in mind Grundy's break even's still 83. That'll change next round with the magic number and it'll be slightly different. It'll probably be like 85 or 81 or something. But he's still got like he's not like he's coming down in cash. Like there's a reason you need to trade him out immediately, like he's gonna lose bulk cash. English's break even is 154, does face the Dons. Has a decent average against them, as we said, but was it 154 or something anyway? 153. So if he goes at his average, is it going to drop much in price? But yeah, oof. I'm going to say I would do the first one. I think it's the most logical trade. I think you've got time for the second one. I'd hold off and do that a bit later.
I
Jordan's
agree.
break even as well, like is. Sorry, I know he's not playing. He's 78. So when he does come back in, he's probably going to lose cash. So I'd rather offload him now than Grundy.
And it's best 18. Like, even if you haven't got Luke
Yeah.
Jackson to swing into the ruck, don't stress. Like that. Well, Liam, before we clock off, given that we're 4 weeks into the 2024 season, of course, discounting that stupid round zero, we're going to check in on our Supercoach Edge Cup League and see who is sitting in the Iron Throne at the moment.
Yeah, so as we head into round five, at the top of the tree, we have Nathaniel's Chev's Titans, who has an overall rank of 150. He's leading Alex's Angels with a rank of 181 and Dow or Never in 202, rounding out the top three. Special mention also to one of our regular viewers and live chat contributors in Skits Fits in a fourth spot.
Very good. Like that. Good to see regulars right up there.
Yes, it is always good to see
And it's not
that.
too late to join also, as you can do so with the code 123391, with the winner awarded a Supercoach Championship ring from the good folk at Supercoach Championship Rings. So as we said earlier, I will just quickly roll through those guys that are looking
Yes.
like they're in line for DPP changes. The most notable ones, of course, you can find the full list via Code Sports, or I think it's in the Herald Sun as well. So the definitive locks in defender midfielders, and of course you can see this list via our Supercoach page, oh, sorry, Facebook page for Supercoach Edge, as well as Twitter. So we have the locks for defender, midfielder, DPPs. It is Nick Martin, Hayden Young, Bonner, Roberts, McKercher, Amon, and D'Ambrosio, which is a bit of an interesting one as well. Completely forgot about him. The absolute locks for the midfielder forwards, it is Tom Powell and Isaac Heaney, or was it Tom Heaney, as you called him? And
It's
then
Tom
the locks
Heaney.
for defender forwards, Fisher, Sexton, and Bukauskas. And then those guys that are on track for changes, Holmes, potentially for a midfielder defensive DPP, has a 63% defensive split with 37% in the midfield. So unless Scott plays him exclusively as a midfielder, he will get DPP. Closey on track as well, mid defender, played 100% mid time, given that he was, I guess, on the wing, so in that sort of that third of the ground, and has two more games up his sleeve where he will play along the mid line. Looks a lock after one more game at least of 100% mid time. Combat's another one on track for defender forward, played 100% in defense. Salem. And maybe here at this stage between getting a defender, midfielder, DPP, time in the middle is sliding due to him being needed back in defense for the Ds with his split defensive 58% and midfielder 42%. Sam Darcy is a maybe at this stage, played a majority of forward time and ruck time has slid in recent games, but is currently the split looking like ruck 43% and forward 57%. So, it's looking okay. The threshold should mention as well. for every single player is 35% at the end of round six for them to qualify for that extra DPP addition. And then, of course, rounding us out, we have Sanders, who at this stage is unlikely to get the midfielder slash forward DPP because, of course, Bevo has done us over here with Sanders playing more mid-time of late to see his split between midfield and forward, looking like 64% in the midfield and 36% in the forward line. So would need to maintain that 35% forward time in order to get it, which at this stage doesn't look like he will because he's playing a fair bit of time in the midfield. So there's a nice update there for those of you keen to hear how things are tracking DPP-wise. And that brings us to the end of the show. So, Liam, before we go, where can our listeners and viewers find us across our socials?
Yes, you can search Supercoach Edge on YouTube. And don't forget to like and subscribe if you do want the full visual and audio experience. On Twitter, you'll find us at @Supercoach_Edge. Damon at DemoJ88. Myself at @Liam_Evans_95. Facebook and Insta, search Supercoach Edge, and you'll find us there. And if you do want to send in your own rendition of I'm the Captain Now, you can send it to aflsupercoachedge@gmail.com. I hope I've got that right.
Bang on. Bang on. Perfect. See, you're a natural, Liam. You've done this so many times.
Yeah.
Well, that rounds us out for round four. Best of luck for round five. May your trades hit the mark and your scores head to the moon. Catch you next week, guys.